Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the word of the Lord from Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The children are invited to children's worship at this time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all again. Thank you. My family and I were back home safely last Wednesday. We left home in South Korea, but it feels like we are home again in McMinnville because I have new brothers and sisters here. Thank you all. And there was no direct flight from South Korea to Portland, so we came to San Francisco first and then transferred to a domestic flight to Portland. Rob Raven drove us to the airport when we left, and Jerry Fentel took us back home in McMinnville. By the grace of God, my family and I had a wonderful time in South Korea. We had a hectic schedule there. Shinae and I went to the U.S. Embassy to change our visas. The consulate asked me a serious and a lot of unexpected questions, making me kind of nervous, right? She was critical and seemed like she would disapprove of it. But because God had already approved of it, so, and I believe you had prayed for it, so the visa was issued successfully. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all. We also had a good time with our family there. We went to the valley together and met some friends there, had a fun time, and of course, I enjoyed good meals made by my mom. While doing the continuing education there, I preached every week without stopping. Actually, I preached four times in four different churches during the vacation. Yes, that's my vacation. And one episode I remember during the first preaching, I was too excited to preach it in my fluent Korean, and I lost my sense of timing on the pulpit. But Shinae showed me her serious face as time passed more than 50 minutes, so I was able to control myself. Yeah, Shinae saved my life. This is the picture after preaching at my home church last Sunday before leaving South Korea. Can you find me and Shinae, by the way, among the similar looking faces? I know everyone is only looks Asian to you, right? Most of the people in the picture are brothers and sisters I spent, my young adult life together in the church, same church. After the service, we gathered together in the pastor's office. Everyone looked the same, but their faith had deepened. Now, there's a familiar face in the picture of you. Sam Button stopped by South Korea from Okinawa on her way back to the States. My younger brother, Seungbom, and I picked her up at the airport and took her to a fancy Korean restaurant. You know what did we eat? We enjoyed the Korean snail with a lot of fresh vegetables. Yeah. Was it good, Sam?
Yes.
Yes, let's do it. I think we should go to the Word of God. Before getting to the Word of God, would you join me in a word of prayer first? Gracious God, thank you so much for your steadfast love in Christ. Thank you for your life-giving word. We are thirsty and weary. We need your true word that provides eternal life. Holy Spirit, come. Come upon each of us. Open the mouth and ears. Wake us up with your fresh word and make us aware of your presence. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We have been enjoying on sermons on topic for August, open topic for August. And starting next week, we will have a new sermon series on 1 Corinthians. So today is the last Sunday for open topic. And my topic for today is the church, the body of Christ, the people of God. Of course, there are many definitions of church, but I want you to think about the body of Christ and the community of faith this morning. The body of Christ has such a profound and important theological meaning that we cannot just gloss over it. Because when we understand the body of Christ well, we can confirm the wonderful mystery of the gospel. The body of Christ means that there are many parts in one body, and each part does a different job. But that one body connects to the same command system. What is the command system? Of course, it's the head. All parts of the body move forward under the same direction of the head, the brain. All of our body parts connect to our heads and play an important role. But you might want to say that some parts seem useless. I once thought my neck was useless. No, I got this long neck. But I had to change my thoughts because I've had a cast on my arm. When I was young, I broke my arm accidentally. I had never really thought about the function of my neck before. But after breaking my arm, I realized how important my neck really was. My neck seemed useless in the body. But surprisingly, it supported me when my arm broke. The doctor bandaged my broken arm and attached it to my neck. What I want to say is that we have no meaningless parts in the body. Like the image of a man with a broken arm, the church is one body that connects each other, revealing the mystery of Christ. The church is also a community of faith. The Apostle Peter confessed to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus gladly answered Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, for my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. On this rock I will build my church." You know, Catholics and Protestants interpret this rock differently. In the Catholic tradition, this rock is interpreted as the Apostle Peter, the person. And then they claim the authority of the Pope. But we Protestants interpret this rock as Peter's confession, which is the confession of faith. So for us, the church is the people of faith who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. However, the people of faith are not the subject. And what is the subject? But the head, who
who constantly supplied faith in the subject. It is Jesus Christ. The Lord is the subject of our faith. It means that we have a faith in Jesus. So, the church is bound in the faith of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm talking about faith of Jesus Christ. That is the faithfulness of the Lord. Our faith is a response that comes from the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We exist as the church because Jesus Christ faithfully supplies faith to us. So the church is a community of faith bound in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In short, the church is the body of Christ and the people of faith. Just you and I, the church. The Apostle Paul is praying for this church in today's text. And the basis of his prayer is what God has done. What God has done is to save us from our sins through the cross. For this reason, Paul does not stop thanking God now. He expresses gratitude for the faith of people that comes from what God has done in Christ. And he prays that we will know what God has done. He also prays that we will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Because God raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor in the heavenly realms. It's kind of an abstract concept, right? But it's true. Now Christ is far above any ruler, any authority, any power, and any leader, anything else. So in his prayer, there are two things that Paul prays for us specifically. First is the spirit of wisdom. And second is the revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Why he prays for that? One of the reasons Paul prays these things is the accuser. Yes, there was an accuser. And it is, even today. From the very beginning of Christianity to the present, this accuser has been attacking our Christianity by its roots. The accuser is none other than Gnosticism. The Gnosticism distinguishes between heaven and earth. What does that mean? They separate between heaven and earth. But here, heaven, I'm talking about not just the sky with the clouds, but the immaterial world. And earth here is the material world. So the distinction between immaterial and material is the basic ground of Gnosticism. They taught that God hates the material world. They claim that God is a spirit and therefore cannot mix with material. So only talking about spiritual things. So the incarnation of Christianity is the incarnation of Christ is a great challenge to them because they have a dualistic view, heaven and earth, immaterial and material. They look at the world in a dualistic way that separates God and creation. And they consider creation as unrelated to God. So the Gnosticism eventually causes libertinism or asceticism. What is that? They either say that just believing in Jesus is enough for salvation, or that we must do something to be saved. Is it confusing? They either say that just believing in Jesus is enough, or just that you have to do something to be saved. Many people are stumbling into this dilemma. But But both are heretical ideas. Heretical ideas. So we must guard against both of them. You know, but interestingly, they find their support in the Bible, especially the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. It goes like this. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So, now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Wow, it sounds like easy to make excuses for sinning. You are sinning, say, oh, it's not me, but my sin. That's a misunderstanding. If we misunderstand this expression that way, we want to excuse our sins as not being our fault. Yes, many people are keep saying that. But that is not at all what the text intended. As Paul makes clear in the following verse, it says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. The sin is hiding here. That means we cannot make excuses for our sins. The thing is, that although we are in Jesus Christ, there is no longer condemnation for us, but if we still pursue sin, not following the Holy Spirit, the result is that we become slaves to sin. So, what is urgently required of us is a life that follows the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, who pursues the faith of the resurrection, will ultimately dominate our old self. So going back to Gnosticism. Their claim that God has no relationship with the material world is wrong. Because we believe in the incarnation and the resurrection. God, who is spirit, became human. And he was resurrected from the cross. Even though our faith looks like a matter of our inner being only, but it should be related to our physical lives even more. Without the hope of the resurrection, our faith is meaningless. The heaven and earth, the immaterial and material should be united. But indeed, the separation of the realms of God and the realm of man has been united in Christ. That's the meaning of the universal unity in Ephesians today. God has raised his Son from the power of death and united all things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth. And he has placed all the powers of the universe under his feet. God has exalted the church above all those power. So the unity of heaven and earth must be revealed through the church, through you and me. When we look at the church from this perspective, we see the relationship within the church as significant. The Bible clearly states that God created man in his image. In other words, the heavenly and earthly world were not essentially dichotomous, but integrated. So God created man in his image. And that connection, that relationship, is like the moon and moonlight reflected on a cloudless and windless lake. Imagine you are looking out at a lake on a quiet night. As a screen in front of you, you can see the moon over the lake. However, if clouds gather and there is a storm, the moonlight on the lake will disappear. So to speak, when the sin of clouds and the disobedience of storms enter the creation, the image of God, the relationship with God, is broken. The image is marred. Human beings lost their original image. However, the Creator God takes responsibility for the work he has begun. The Creator God sent his only begotten Son to save a sinful human and claim their original image. And he wants to restore the universe, entire universe. Now Jesus Christ took upon himself all the sins of all mankind and was judged on the cross. But the power of God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted his name above all. Through the resurrection and Christ, the new heaven and new earth have begun. And the church is at the center of that new kingdom. Now the church is the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. But the question is, who is the one who fills all things in all? The one who fills all in all, of course, is the Creator. God is the one who made something out of nothing, yes. He is the Creator. This Creator God is self-sufficient and omnipotent and lacks nothing. He needs nothing. But paradoxically, God who lacks nothing sounds like he will not be filled without the church. He won't be satisfied without the church. The one who lacks nothing has decided not to be satisfied without you. The Almighty God has made this desperate determination toward the church. Since the eternal God made that determination, then how can the power of death overcome the church? Impossible. So the church can never perish. Do not worry about the church. And do not step forward presumptuously. Because Christ is the head of the church. So the church never perished. Of course, the church here is not just about the local church like Sunrise, but the universal one, visible and invisible universal church. I'm talking about. That church is none other than people like you and me, the children of God, people of God, the saints of God. We are all bound together in Jesus Christ. So, you can never perish. Because the purpose of God in Christ, the fullness of God in Christ, the church, has already been confirmed by the cross and resurrection. So we do not need to do anything to become a church, a good church. Because if we are in Christ, we are already a good church. Being busy and having lots of programs are not conditions for a good church. We are good church in Christ. So we need to think about the thoughtful church. This is meant because many churches in today's society thoughtlessly following the culture of a society of endless competition. When you live thoughtlessly, you miss many things. You can miss the opportunity to think about what is truly important. Who they are, who you are, and who God is. And even what the church is. In his book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis sharply exposes what the devil fears the most. What the devil fears the most is when people think calmly, thoughtfully, and logically. Why? Because when people think calmly and logically, they eventually come to think about death. That's the thing the devil fears the most. That's why he uses all sorts of means to block us away. To think. What about the smartphones? The whole world is crazy about smartphones. YouTube's shorts paralyze our thinking. So the question is, do we need to fill the church with many new programs? The book of Ephesians answers that the church is already filled in Christ. In other words, the church is the goal that God wants to fulfill. That means the church is already full in Christ. So technically, the church of the Lord does not need to follow any commercialized program. What does that mean? Do we have to give up our wonderful small groups? I love my table tennis ministry. I'm looking forward to our public reading scripture. But what I want to say is that we can only be satisfied with the only excellent name of Christ that surpasses all things. We are the purpose of the fulfillment of God. God is self-sufficient. We are the people that God is satisfied in Christ. And God has built the church on our confession. So, what is urgent for us is to take care of our confession of faith in each other. That's the most urgent and important thing we should do. So we should stop using senseless and foolish and sarcastic words. Instead, we should speak words of gratitude and encouragement to each other. Because God has done such a great thing in Christ already. We should talk about that. Do not be deceived by empty words like, "You gotta do something serious more. There's a secret." No! But encourage each other with the gospel that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present, nor future things, nor anything else can separate us from the love of God that fills us already in Christ.
Amen.
That's the gospel we should share with each other. Our God, who fills all things in all things, will eventually take us out of our self-centered life and enrich us with God-centered lives. That is a renewed community-centered life. That is the church. The church can never fall. Because Christ, the head of the Christ, the head of the church, has been revived. And we experience it through the Holy Spirit who protects us endlessly. So, wake up from the spiritual sleep and look up to the Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. You are the church. You're the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we praise the glorious name of yours, the head of the church you are. You are worthy of praise. We want to properly understand the great things you have done through the cross and the resurrection. So please give us wisdom and feed us with the overflowing knowledge of God so that we can share each other the gospel. Let our church shine only in the name of Jesus Christ. And let it be your church that only longs for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.